verse 18. I think the darkness scared about half of our crowd off tonight. And I'm not a very good salesperson. If you don't want to hear what I have to say, you're just going to miss it. Tonight is one of those kind of game-changing sermons about marriage. Some of you aren't married. Some of you, after hearing this, will never want to be married. And by the way, that's okay. Did you hear me? That's okay. Because the fundamental failure in marriage that I see is people get married because they're depressed and lonely, thinking marriage is going to fix them. Here's the sad part of this, friend. Marriage is really about meeting another person's needs, and we don't like that part. Before we stand and pray, for all of you that do pray here, and I recognize that's not everybody, I don't lie to myself, I believe this is the first time my brother-in-law has ever been in a Bible-believing church this morning. Okay? Ever. So, no, I didn't tailor the message. And I didn't say, if you want to come to Jesus, you know, get the get-out-of-hell card and go about your life. That's a false gospel that we've been preaching for 100 years in this country. You know, get out of hell and go about your business. There is no such thing. So my brother-in-law is an unsaved guy. So I would ask you to pray for him. His name is Gene, and I know it's the first time he's ever heard me preach. And I'm pretty sure it's the first time he's ever been in any kind of a Bible-believing church. So, all right, let's stand. Genesis chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." Some people say help meet, but we're going to try to discuss what that means tonight. But it's a help that is meet for the man, which is Old English. And by the way, just so you know, I'm not a King James only person. I think everybody knows that. But look at me in the eyes. I'm also not stupid. I would recommend that you read the New Revised Standard Version on this verse, because some of you are so asleep when it comes to reality. There are problems with modern translations, especially liberal ones, and it shows up right here, because this verse is saying something very specific about the relationship of a husband and a wife. And liberals believe, well, they don't even believe it has to be a husband and a wife, do they? That's going to show up in how they twist the Bible starting in this verse, okay? New Revised Standard Version. Look it up, actually do some work, and talk to me about it. I already know what it says. Verse 19, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." I might preach on this in the future weeks. I don't know if I'm going to continue this subject of marriage. I wrote some things for the Philippines on the subject of marriage, but this would be the next passage. I will not deal with verse 24. This is repeated in the Gospels, and it's repeated by the Apostle Paul. And look me in the eyes. You cannot start marriage wrong and have it turn out right. A man leaves mom and dad and starts a new family. Doesn't live in the basement, doesn't live in the back bedroom. They have their own family, and if you don't, you have problems. Why don't we take seriously what texts say? Answer the question. And in some countries, You move in with the family for the rest of your life and have your mom and dad tell you how to run your family. By the way, folks, this is fundamental Christianity. Boy, I'm getting ahead of myself, am I not? Do you believe this stuff? Or do you believe you can do anything you want to do and have a successful marriage? Answer the question, which do you believe? You actually have to obey Scripture. So mothers, if you're here and you want to keep Junior at your home, you're disobeying God. Parents, let your children grow up. Now, verse 25, we won't talk much about it tonight. They were both naked, the man and the woman, and they were what? Shame doesn't come before the fall. Shame comes after the fall. Tonight, we're going to just speak on this passage called Meeting Needs. I'm going to use Brother Cliff here a little bit later. I won't embarrass his wife. I thought about bringing Jude up here, but that would be too embarrassing. So Cliff and I are going to be, we're going to be Adam and Eve. And Cliff is Adam, and I'm going to be Eve, and he's going to wake up and see me. That's a scary thought, isn't it? All right, let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this time. May you bless our time together. May this be a profitable night in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Meeting needs. There is nothing like young love. You start to see the young lady. She's fiddling with her hair. She has her hair fixed up with a bow. She has her war paint on. She uses a little perfume. She wears her best dress. She has that smile and that nervous love. You know, when they start fiddling with everything because there's so much tingling. She fiddles with her clothing, with her hands, with her hair. She has the expectation and the fantasy of love and riding off into the sunset. As for him, there's much less to work with. But he tries. He brushes his teeth. If he's not a Filipino, he shaves. Except Chris. Chris has to shave. The only Filipino I know that has to shave. He puts on a little cologne. He fixes his hair. If he's from where I'm from, he wears his best camo pants. He is going on a date. If he's related to Samwise Ganji, he wears his yellow or orange pants. But he is ready for his date. He is sophisticated. He even brings this young lady flowers. Men, flowers, or chocolate. You say, which should you bring a lady, flowers or chocolate? And the answer is both. They both work. Just bring both and you just solve the problem. He plans the dates. He saves up his money. He takes her to the perfect place so she can have the best possible meal at Taco Bell or chicken nuggets at McDonald's. I mean, he's got it all laid out. Touching and holding hands and lingering looks and all of those hushed tones and love talk. And then comes marriage. And you wake up, and 3 to 5 years into the marriage, you come to the pastor and say, Pastor Warren, and I'll get to this in a few minutes, my spouse is so needy. And my first retort would you, by the way, I'm a simple person. I wonder if we believe the Bible or it's just nice religious literature. I always think, really, your spouse is needy? What did you marry your spouse for? Well, we'll get to that. Look in your notes. I'm going to just look at this passage. Meeting needs. Number one, marriage is about what? And BTF means anybody? Before the fall. Genesis 2 happens when? Everybody say with me. Genesis 2 happens when? That means when we were perfect. Now, none of you got married perfect. But when people were perfect, people still had needs. So, you know, here you wake up one day and you look at this woman and you say, boy, she wants me to talk all the time and I don't really like to talk. Now, before you got married, you liked to talk. you thought her voice was the best voice on earth. But after marriage, it's like, I had enough of the talking now. Let's get on to doing what I want to do. But my friend, even before the fall, look at the text. It says, and the Lord God said, lo, tov, it is not good that man should be what? I will make a helpmeet for him. And specifically, we'll just focus on the word help. God says, even before the fall, it's not good. It's not a good thing. He not only says it once, he repeats it. In verse 20, it says, and Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help. Which indicates, ladies, men needed help before the fall. So you say, boy, I'm looking at this guy, and he's so needy, and he needs so much. 1975, I left home. My family was a little bit different. Not good or bad, but a little different. There were four of us kids. My sister was born in 1950. My brother in 53, me in 57, and my little sister in 60. All four children, by time 18 years old, we were gone, never to return to home, ever. That's not normal. I don't know if it was good or bad, but I left home. I joined the Navy. Back in those days, I could wash my own clothing. I could make my own bed. I could shave. I could brush my teeth. I could get a haircut. Now, I can't tell you why for 4 years of my life, from 1975, 76, 77, 78, and 79, I could do all those things. Today, I can't find my socks. I can't cook any food except McDonald's. I can't make my own bed. I can't pick up my own laundry. Is it can't or won't? Which is it? Do we have a testimony up here? By the way, I don't know what happens to you, but I do know this. For 4 years of my life, I could do all of those things. But there's something about us that we are needy people. So look at me. You know, we have the lovebirds here, but I'm going to be nice to the lovebirds because you guys are now engaged, and it's almost all over but the enjoying. But may I say this to all of you? There were needs. And the reason God made, look at me, a woman was to meet the needs of that old man. And vice versa in the sense, even though man was created before, man was meant to meet those needs. And hear me, and that was before man fell in the garden. Did you hear me? Before sin entered into the picture at all, people had needs. God created the man and the woman to meet each other's needs. It's just the way it is. So when I hear someone say this, he or she is so needy, it's like, well, yes, they are. But if I ask the average person, what are your spouse's real needs? Couldn't even tell me. May I say this from the old man at the top, and I want the old man to listen. Most people don't even know their spouse well. If you're an emotional person or you're narcissistic at all, you know what narcissistic means? Self-centered. A self-centered person does not know their spouse even has emotions. If you're an emotional person, you think your spouse doesn't have emotion because the only emotions important is mine, and they just got to come out all the time. Everybody has needs. You're not going to go anyplace in marriage. You're going to be button heads. You can be married 60 years. Makes no difference. I'm not going to talk about specific marriages, but I'm not stupid. I've observed marriages in this church. I know the misery that some of the marriages have been, and the marriages were miserable because one person decided, I'm the center of gravity here. I'm the center of the universe. Now, just to make a simple statement, in your notes, I am not really getting to the parts that are helpful for us. The word help, everybody knows the Hebrew word for help, which is interesting because most of us don't read Hebrew, but you know the word Ebenezer, and the word Ezer is the Hebrew word for help. And the word Eben, remember, here I raise my Evan is the Hebrew word for stone. The stone of help. That's all that word means. And you know that phrase. Evan, and the word Ezer is just the normal word. So in one sense, God was simply saying, it's not good that a man is alone. I'm going to make someone that can help him. And that's just a normal general word for someone that can help them. Now the Lord's adding something on to that that I think is very, very important. So number two, marriage is about needs before the fall. Number two, it's about what? It's about what? Meeting those needs before the fall. God specifically created the woman because Adam was so needy to meet those needs, but obviously the reverse also being true. Marriage is about meeting those needs before the fall. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a help meet. And I put the specific Hebrew word there. I'll explain that in a moment for him. It's not just someone to help him, but it's a certain kind of help that God says he's going to create for Adam. And it says in Adam, Ha-Adam, the man or Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help. And again, it uses the same phrase, a help that was meet for him. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Al Ha'adam. It keeps saying Ha'adam. Adam means man or Adam. You could say either way. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof instead. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, from Ha'adam, from Adam, made he a woman, Isha, and brought her unto the man. Again, Al Ha'adam. Adam, we're back to Adam again, brought into Adam. Verse 23, and by the way, 23, Dr. Moritz is the guy that turned me on to this, though I read it in Hebrew. It is a fun verse. It's the most fun verse in Genesis 2. Tonky, the first time you saw Bonnie, this is your thinking. I'll use you and Bonnie. Now, I don't know what she saw in you, but I get what you saw in her. And you can use this tonight. You can tell her. I'll explain it in a moment. But look what it says. It says, Adam, Adam, said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She, but you'll notice the Hebrew is exactly the same word as this earlier, shall be called woman, Isha, because she, same word as this and same word as she earlier, was taken out of the man. So marriage is all about meeting those needs before the fall. In your notes, this is marriage before the fall. Before the fall. So we're not even talking about sin. We're not talking about our fallenness. We're not talking about all of our problems, all of our difficulties, all the junk we bring into marriage, all the garbage trains that we drag into marriage. I'm talking about before any of that happened, Adam and Eve had needs, and they were there to meet those needs. Now the text, of course, since it's talking historically, was saying God created Eve to meet Adam's needs. Obviously, the reverse is also true. In your notes, next. This is God's original design and intent. Original design and intent. Now, folks, look up here. I read a book or two a week. Most of you know that. Actually, 3 to 5. You're going to read books on codependency. And there is a form of codependency, psychological terms, that it's true, that it's bad. But may I say this, if you're in a marriage, you're going to be dependent on each other. And if you're not, look at me, you don't have a marriage. By the very nature of being married, you're going to have to be otherwise, what exactly is the point of marriage? Two passing ships in the night? Two people that talk to each other and say hi once in a while? There are these things that you become dependent on the other person. You say, that's not good. No, that's just the way marriage was originally designed. God made it that way in the beginning. Next in your notes, man was created first and the woman was created second, obviously out of the man. Now, this is just the historical nature of this. My next statement I find very interesting. Ladies, look at me. I know this is historical. Ladies, But there's something very true beyond the history. I say in your notes, a man alone was and is rarely good. Have you ever noticed that women do fine alone? Men normally don't do well alone. I'm going to make people mad. By the way, if a spouse dies and the spouse is a woman, does the husband remarry? Answer the question. Answer the question. Normally, yes. How about the wife? My mom said, I had one man telling me what to do all my life. I never wanted a second one. That's what she told me today. She told me that today. You know, because she's not, you know, she's been widowed now for, what, 4 years? She's almost 86. I don't think she's looking for a date, okay? But, I mean, she's down in this place she lives in, Springfield, Illinois now. And there's people there, you know, maybe they think my mother has money. She doesn't. But they think she has money. So, you know, there's some old creepy guy that will come there and want to seat my mother. By the way, my great aunt Opal was widowed before my parents were married. She was widowed in the mid-1940s. She died in 2002 at age 99. She never remarried. Men don't do well alone, do they? Let me ask you a question. Who are most murderers in the world, men or women? Who does most crime in the world, men or women? Actually, it's men who are unattached. Hello? It's men who are unattached. Do you know what stabilizes most men? Not the woman. It's the responsibility of taking care of the wife and children. It's kind of the way God made things. Look at me. Before the fall, it's weird to me. Women want to get married. I get that. I don't know why. You have to marry men, and I don't know why you want to, but for some reason. Anyhow, we better move on before I get in trouble. Ladies, I'm sorry. When I see our lovebirds here, and I like you, Ezra, but I don't know what she sees in you. She looks at you. Every time she looks at you, she gets that smile, and I think, I ain't getting it. But my wife smiles at me too, but only because her eyes are bad now. But maybe that's the cause of this. I don't know. You know, if we had time, I would have Cliff tell his... You know, you all, everybody, if you haven't heard Cliff tell you how he trapped Judy, it was totally entrapment. That's the only way he has Judy. He entrapped her into marriage. Isn't that right, Judah? 100%. Because when she saw him, she didn't go, wow. She went. All right, in your notes. Can I say this one more time? A man alone was not and is rarely good. Look at me. In our culture, the groups in our culture that cause 99% of crime in America are men who are unattached. Is that correct? Some of you think it's ethnicity. It's not ethnicity. It's males unattached because God created us. This isn't rocket science, folks. When God says it's not good, he actually meant it. Next in your notes, God intended and created woman as his help meet. His help meet. But what does the word meet mean? In my notes, I have a bunch of Hebrew verses that you don't have in yours with Hebrew text. I'm going to give you what it means. And friend, look at me. I've already asked you. I'm not going to ask again. I'll just state it. You need to read the New Revised Standard Version of this text because they disagree with what God says. A help meet for the man is this. Look up here, Cliffy. It does not say that God said this. I'm Eve, he's Adam. He needs some help. Look at me, I'm going to send some help. That's not what the text is saying. It's talking about a certain kind of help. Not just he needs some help cleaning the house, so I send another person by to help him clean the house. It's a help that actually in Hebrew means this, that you look at each other. I have in your notes, stay right there. Look in your notes. I have all kinds of phrases to try to explain this. It's someone corresponding to. It's someone that is fit for. It is, most of the time in Hebrew, it means this, someone facing another. So it's not this. Look here. It's not two people going through life working together. It is two people that face each other that in somehow fit together. It is the way God intended. So let me use another illustration. Here's a pen. God didn't say, you're a pen, men. You need another pen. No, you're a pen. You need something that corresponds, that fits together appropriately with you. So we believe in this church in what's called the complementarian view of marriage, that the man and the woman complement each other. Yes? Amen. We do not believe in the egalitarian view of marriage, which is we're exactly identical. Look at me. Look at me. That I could replace him. He could replace me. It could be two males, two females, a dog and a man. Makes no difference. It's just two people helping each other. No, it's not. It was always from God's, right in the beginning, God made two people like this. Here's one, here's another. Yes, this one's going to help this one, but they're going to help in a specific way. They're going to help by, look at me, completing the other person, complementing the other person. So guys, if you are so dumb to think your wife should be exactly like you, you are missing everything about marriage. And ladies, if you wonder why your husband doesn't effusively talk for 4 hours a night, it could be that God made us different intentionally. So we weren't two people going the same direction. We were two people that complement each other, and the two of us together facing each other work together. Look at me. As God intended. Look at these texts. These are explanations. Corresponding to. Fit for. Facing one another. Meet, appropriate. So complimenting the man, the opposite of, the counterpart, are, as I said, and I didn't write in here, completing. Now, this is not inappropriate for a church service. Some people only think sexually. Look at me, sexually is just the obvious external. But everything ought to come together and should be something that completes the other person. Ladies, we're going to get to those needs in a minute. Some of you want your husband to be you. Ain't going to happen. If a man is interested in what you like, ladies, he's gay. Just get over it. If somebody wants to talk about your makeup, he is... I mean, I could be with this guy here. We could talk for years. We'd never be talking about makeup. Why? Because God made us different. And when God brings two together, he wants something that completes, complements, is corresponding to. It's something that, so it's different than just two people helping each other out. If that's all this was, two males could be married. This is the reason the New Revised Standard Version says something differently. Because in their view, two males, two females, it's not a problem. But in the biblical world, it's a big problem. Hey, look at me. From the beginning of time, I said this two or three years ago. When our Supreme Court decided that gay marriage was okay, they not only violated Christianity, you do understand, marriage predates salvation. It predates sin. It's part of the very beginning of things. You can't get away. You're destroying something that is like what a civilization is made of. Now, I'm going to pick on this guy, but I'm going to have you think of, I want everybody to think when I pick on Cliffy, I want you to think of Chris over here, Paulky, and Bonnie, okay? Because I want you to see for the first time, as much as I can bring out of Hebrew, I want you to see Adam's response when he first sees Eve. Okay? Look back in the text. It's up in verse 23. And Adam, Ha-Adam. You everybody see that? Yes? Now, I'm going to have to play Adam. Cliff, you're going to have to play Eve this time. It scares me. It's going to make me sick, but I don't want to embarrass a woman. Oh, Adam wakes up. He didn't look over here and say, "Oh my goodness, you look ugly like me. Yeah, you need to shave. Yuck." Adam woke up and he said, by the way, the Hebrew word zot is a demonstrative pronoun. You know what demonstrative means? This one, not that one. He said, think of Chris. Chris saw Bonnie and he said, "This one? Look what it says in the text. This one is now, wow, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." The King James says she, but the text says zot. This one shall be called, look at me, Isha. He didn't look over her and say, "God gave me you? Yuck." Now, guys, some of you are so old you can't remember. But it's kind of nice when you see. You know what we like about young love? Some of us, the fog clears away, and we're suddenly going, "Wow, this one." It could have been another one like me. But Adam is going, "This one, God gave her. She's bone of this one." By the way, one of the Hebrew words for man is ish. He says, "This one's going to be called Isha." Chris, do you remember that? You still remember that. So my question is, what did she see when she saw you?
Ish.
Yeah, she was going, "Ish." Ish. By the way, the same thing every woman sees. It's like, no, I think actually what every woman sees is, "I think I can fix this guy." That's what I think they see. By the way, and then it says it for a third time. It just keeps focusing. He says, "Wow, zot, this one is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called Isha, because this one was taken out of the man." Ish. Ish is the man, Isha is the woman. So look in your notes. Thank you, Cliffy. Look in your notes. I kind of just kind of flesh it out a little bit. This one is the one. This one shall be called Isha. This one was taken out of the man. There's something very beautiful about that. Now, I want to ask a question, and we have time tonight. Did you recognize that God could have made an ugly Adam and a person just as ugly to fit together? But God didn't choose that. Let me ask you a question. How many of you had lunch today? Now, I'm not going to ask Frenchie, because Frenchie can tell me exactly what he had, how much it cost, how far it took to get there. I'm not interested in stupidity. I want to ask you a serious question. Did you taste your food today? Have you ever asked yourself this stupid question? Why didn't God make food that tastes like this? I'm asking you a question. Why didn't he make food to taste like paper? God created everything for us. Do you understand God did the same with man and woman? He could have made two males. He chose not to. He chose women. For a woman to be the one, when the man looks, he goes, "Whoa, this one." There's something that God created on purpose. It's weird to me that in the animal kingdom, normally the attractive one is the male, with the exception of humans. And in the male, in the human world, guys, it ain't you that's attractive. I got news for you. Uh-oh, we're going to get in trouble here tonight. Let's read Matthew Henry. Would you read it with me? So, Chris, tonight when you go home, you can say to Bonnie, "Ooh, Isha, this one." And she's going to be saying, "What are you talking about? Are you retarded?" Matthew Henry, writing in the very late 1600s, said this: how God graciously resolved to provide society for him, for Adam. Result of this reasoning concerning him was this kind resolution: I will make a help meet for him, a help like him, so some read, one of the same nature and of the same rank of beings, a help near him, so others, to one to cohabit with him and to be always at hand, a help before him, so others, one that he may look upon with what? Pleasure and delight. Then the most famous statement ever made by a pastor. It was only made 300 plus years ago. He said, the woman was made of the rib out of the side of Adam, not out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected and near his heart to be beloved. Yes, a Puritan, well, his dad was a Puritan, wrote that. He was a nonconformist after the Puritan era. We'll look now to the needs. I think we're at the place of we're going to talk about the needs. In your notes, I say this. This is the one. This, I think Adam was saying, this is the one to meet my needs. And vice versa, for me to meet their needs. But it was some very specific form. Something that completes. Something that complements. Something that is opposite of, that fits together with. It's not just two people or two humans or two animals going the same way. It was people that correspond to each other face to face. What are those needs? I'm assuming everybody in this room, boy, this might be a false assumption, has read the book His Needs, Her Needs. Adults? Adults. If you haven't, why haven't you? Especially if you're married. Noel, didn't you guys do a Bible study on this for how long? I'll just look at the woman side of this. We'll just touch on. By the way, I have them divided. He does not divide them like this. I find this. The top three are those that make marriage the best. The bottom two on both sides, especially on the woman's side, most women in America will not stand by a male who does not do the bottom two. Otherwise, there's no point of the relationship. If a man is not committed to the family and not committed financially, what's the point of being with the guy? So those are kind of marriage breakers. But the top ones, guys, you notice what they are? Attention. And what's the second one? Guys, women like to talk. I like my daughter. I'm glad she's moving out. I only need one woman that I have to listen to. You say, you're being terrible. I don't like to talk. And we have a living example of here. You say you talk all the time. Sarah, your brother is a living example of this, correct? You're a brother-sister couple. And Sarah found out already what Zach's future wife will find out. Somebody had a baby. He comes home from work, and Zach's future wife, and she'll say, anything happened today? And his answer will be, nothing. How was your day? What's a man says when a woman says, how was your day? Fine. Okay. Yes? And what's a woman say? She wants... Listen, I love Sharon Vasilovich more than I love just about anybody I know. You know, Sharon could... She not only wanted to talk to me about her day, she wanted to start at the beginning of the day and go through every step. And I'm like, and you go home and tell Pete the same thing. I don't know how you do that. For me, my whole day is summed up in, it was okay. Here's the problem. What do women need? Men? Oh, Lord, help me. You see, I didn't get married for all that conversation. Then what did you get married for? Because women like to talk. They like to explain things. They like, you know, my wife is very good at this. Sometimes she can get to the point. Because me, this is my conversation. Please get to the point. Get to the point. And then I have to hear Amy, then I have to come here, and then you hear secretaries, and then you hear teachers, and after a while, it's like, where is my gun at? I mean, I can only handle so much of those conversations. Sam, I see you being nervous back there. Sam comes home, and how was your day, Sam? And he says, fine. What'd you do today? Work. That's his conversation. He's got it all summed up. Is that right? Is that right, Oxide? Go ahead and say amen, sister. And then what's the woman want? She wants a blow-by-blow description of everything you did. Folks, I don't even remember what I did. Now, you say, how bad is it? Zach did not tell his sister about the lovebirds being engaged. Zach, I'm not mad at you. I do this all the time with my wife. Usually when she's in a rage, it's because I forgot to tell her little things like somebody had a baby, you know, little things like that. It's like, it wasn't important to me. You know, okay, so they had a so Mary had a baby. I'm happy for her. What do you want me to say? You want me to write it down? Blow by blow. Phil, I want a blow by blow description, okay? You know, the video log. I want you to get on there and talk for us. No, please. Yeah. Ladies, you read what it says about males. I'm not going to repeat it publicly. Ladies, please look at me. If your husband tells you the first one is not important, there are exactly three males like that. Dead males, liars, and gays. So when your husband says, I'm not interested, which one is he? Answer the question. You say, my husband's abnormal. No, your husband's lying, and you're lying too, and you are the big liar. Look, ladies, men aren't real complex. Men only need three or four things. They need food. They need the first thing. A little entertainment and sleep. That's pretty much it. You know, men, I always like this. I have the picture someplace. There's one of these 1960s computers, you know, where there's dials, 8,000 dials and all this stuff. And that's a woman. And then there's a man. It's a toggle switch. Now, you think that's funny. Ladies, when a woman comes to me and says, I don't understand my husband, I'm like, really? You're telling me this? Men are pretty simple. I'll move on from there. I don't want to get in trouble. Too late. Men do need that recreational companionship to some degree. Otherwise, ladies, if you like to sit at home and flop and talk for 24 hours at a time, that might be sexy to you, but it won't be to your husband. Most men like women who like to do something with them. Something. Something. Now, there are men that like think that TV is an activity. I don't. Number three, the fall makes those needs more difficult to meet. I think this is where it gets tough. So now, by the way, how many of us have lived before the fall? Adam and Eve for 15 minutes. I don't know how long, but I do know this. After the fall, things don't get easier. They get more what? Why? Because before the fall, they were both naked and they were not. But the moment sin entered in, what did they do? They started hiding. They started becoming ashamed. I know there's a person in our church whose name will remain anonymous, who said this stupid statement, I don't have guilt or shame. There's only one kind of person that doesn't ever experience guilt and shame. That's a sociopath, a criminal. Certainly not a believer. Let me say this. Here's the problem. You need to meet the needs of your spouse, and you no longer live without sin. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about we now suffer from the effects of the fall. We could spend a week just talking about the effects of the fall. And look at me, when you get married, you bring a baggage train with you. There's a woman in this church, not here tonight, that every time she sees me, she wants to know what I think of her hair. I'm going to tell you what, if you've been a member of this church since the day I came here, this is how often I think of your hair. Never. Why? Because her daddy never complimented her. Well, there has to come a time in your life when women, where you get a hold of the grace of God and you get that settled with God, not looking for your husband to somehow meet needs that's impossible. It goes back and forth on this. I'm not trying to be mean to women. Let's look at the text real quick. Genesis 3:7 says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And of course, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, they did something. They did what? Let me ask you a question. Do you recognize people who are hiding? Do you recognize the woman in this church who is constantly pulling Do you understand pulling? Do you know what pulling is? That's a symptom of shame. We're trying to cover ourselves. Do you not recognize symptoms? And you bring that into marriage. And the simplest things that should be simple in marriage, you can never get to because you have so much shame and guilt, you can't get to helping someone else. By the way, we had a class on shame for weeks. We'll have another one on a Monday night sometime for you that can never make it. This is life and death. I get tired of seeing the same people ruining marriage after marriage because they cannot figure out how to get past things. Right here, we're hiding. Yes, Pastor Warren does notice people's behavior, especially repeated behavior. You got that? I don't look at you and say, I know what you're about. I look at repeated behavior. Repeated behavior doesn't lie. In your notes, verse 9. The Lord called Adam and said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "Well, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid." Who did I hide? Who hid him? He did it himself. Well, you know the rest. Under the verses, I say this: hiding, lying, shame, guilt. These are the ways we cover things up. So after the fall, here's what we find. Number one, not numbered. Variety has increased. We had needs before the fall. Now we have more needs. Cliffy, come over here. If Cliffy was my wife, and trust me, I wouldn't be thinking zote. I would be going, this one? It would be the opposite. But hear me, if we're married, don't be goofy. If we're married as husband and wife, there is a place where a husband is to meet his wife's needs on things like self-esteem, how she feels. But I now have come to realize there are women that no man could ever meet their needs. No matter, that man could compliment her from the morning to the night. He could build her up because she has a hollow soul. She didn't get something as a child, which, by the way, if your parents didn't give it to you, look me in the eyes. Where do you get it from? You have to come to the cross and find what it means to be accepted in the beloved. Otherwise, I can't pay her. I can't give her enough compliments. Nothing is going to. And when I see people seeking compliments all the time, thanks, Cliff. We're going to have to hurry. The variety now has increased. Next, the desire and maybe the ability to meet those needs has decreased. So you not only have the variety has gotten more, we have needs we didn't have before the fall, but also our desire and maybe our ability to meet those needs has decreased. Otherwise, there's a lot of men that, frankly, I know males, they go home and go out and drink. Do you know why? Because they don't want to hear the garbage of their wife. And you say, that's terrible. Both people have problems. By the way, folks, things don't come out of the air. I meet somebody watching television 10 hours a day, like some folks that aren't here tonight. I'm not sure why you watch television 10 hours a day. Do you think you're going to find true meaning? I don't know. After a point, it's like, I understand a movie, I understand a TV program, I understand sports. And then it's like, well, we move on. Next, the complexity of needs. The complexity of needs are now off the charts. The complexity of needs. I still remember my first couple years here. A lady told me this. She, by the way, hasn't had any of her problems fixed. She's not in this church and hasn't been for years. But when she was a child, her father, a pig, called her two names. These were her nicknames from her dad. Smelly, and Hairy. Do you think that really boosted a girl's self-image? What do you think? Now, by the way, ladies, you could have grown up under that kind, and that's filth. If a man does that in this church, and I know it, I'm confronting him. I'm not one of some of you Billy Baptists. He's getting confronted if you're treating your daughters like that. But that's how she was treated. Her dad called her smelly or stinky. What? Your daughter? So when she got married, guess how she felt about her body? Good or bad? Folks, the way a woman feels about her body doesn't come from the sky. It doesn't just, well, that's the way I am. It comes directly from people's stupid. And that's the complexity. And then they get married and they got all this stuff churning. Wait a minute. You still have to meet each other's needs. That's where it becomes rough. Next, the inability to communicate needs has increased after the fall. The inability to communicate needs has increased after the fall. Next, our needs have become entangled. See how I have this. Have become entangled with our childhood. Our needs have become entangled with our childhood. My friend, I'm going to give you the most profound thing I can ever say to you about our childhood. It's in your notes. When a couple marries, Cliffy, come down here with me. I can give it to you from memory. It's not real complex. See, I've been looking at people's marriages for a long time. Stand on that side. Here's two people coming together. And by the way, are most marriages happy? And the answer is, in this church, most marriages aren't happy. Quit kidding yourself. If I pull people apart and talk to people, one of the other persons is very unhappy. And it's because if you're an emotional person, you don't think your spouse even has emotions. We lose the ability to be able to communicate things. I said this before. This is not about my wife. This is about me. I didn't even think I had emotions till age 30. Did I have emotions? Yes or no? But I didn't think I did. And then if your emotions are not as much as a woman's and you don't know how to express them, then after a while, your emotions goes by the wayside. And then you start fighting, but you don't know what you're fighting about. But here's two couples come together. It's in your notes. This is what you realize. This couple comes together and you say, isn't this great? They're getting married. Every intimate relationship is about every other intimate relationship you've ever been in. And when I say intimate, I'm not talking about marriage or sex. So, Tim Duram, when I get married, what other intimate relationships have I had? Saying, let's pretend that we get married 22, 24, 28, whatever it is. We've never had any kind of sexual relationship. What are my other intimate relationships? Parents. Parents are the big ones. And by the way, when I talk to people, number one thing I would talk to is, what kind of a relationship did the young lady have with the dad? And what kind of a relationship did the young man have with the mother? And if that isn't good, But the problem is, most people are not even thinking about that because they're looking. Boy, you smell good. And they come together. And then, Tim Duram, I'm not speaking to you. Then, in a modern America, the guy's been with four other women, and the woman's been with three other people. Or maybe they've never had sex with anybody. Maybe the guy's into pornography. And those have been his intimate relationships. And they come together, look at me, and you think, wonder why, come on, why are they having problems? Because they got a baggage train behind them. They got this whole baggage train. They don't know how to untangle this mess. Look at me. My mother, I love my mother. She doesn't think she's very smart. She's 86 years old. Do you know what? Where did she learn that she wasn't smart from? Her father. She's 86 years old. I've told her half a dozen times, Mom, that's nonsense. My mom's not a rocket scientist, but she's plenty of IQ. But she heard from her dad that she wasn't that smart, so she just believes it. Now, her dad wasn't cruel in the sense that told her she was ugly and all those things. But what happens in a marriage if all her life she's been told, you're smelly, you're stinky, you're hairy? And then the guy is in love with her, but she doesn't want him to look at her because she's ugly. I'm going to say this. You can prevent problems for your daughters instantly, or you can cause them. Oh, what about Jesus? He just solves all my problems, doesn't he? That's the greatest lie ever told in our kind of circles. Salvation doesn't solve all your problems. It's the implementation of the Word of God after salvation that solves your problems, which means you can discuss what God has done in your life. It isn't Jesus wiped it all away and I'm perfect now. Those are the people that have the most problems. I better hurry on. So let me say all that again. Our needs have become entangled with our childhood. Every intimate relationship is about every other intimate relationship in your life. Is this true or not? So look at me in the eyes, and I want to ask you a question. Look up here, folks. What kind of situation did you have with your parents? Are other intimate relationships, was it healthy? Or can you even be honest? If it was not, of course you have problems. Okay, here's the problem. Look, marriage was always about meeting needs, but now you can't meet those needs because you got so many things you can't discuss. And you bring all that stuff is, and if you're really spiritual, you blame it all on your spouse. Your spouse didn't even know about it. I still remember, I got the book in my office. A pastor got married to a woman. He was actually in the seminary, got married to a woman. First night he was with his wife cried the whole night. He's thinking, what did I do? What did I do wrong? Well, of course, I know now what he did wrong. He married a woman that had been sexually abused. But for 10 years of their marriage after that, he thought all the problems were his. No, all the problems were the pervert and one of the intimate relationships called the stepfather. In your notes, we'll conclude with this. Those needs must still be met after the fall. So, look me in the eyes. Drop your romance and look, ladies, what does my husband actually need? Ladies, and better ask this question, if I'm struggling to meet them, why am I struggling to meet his needs? Men, what does my wife need? And why am I struggling to meet those needs? And both people, husband, look up here, and I'm done. Husband and wife, it's time that all of us take a breath and ask ourselves, why do we struggle? What did I bring to this relationship? I'll tell you what you brought. Your sin. And it's by God's grace, look at me, and this book that you can start unraveling that mess. Or you can pass it on for generation to generation of the foolishness in a Christian home. Let's pray. Father, I thank you.